Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Just released today, brand new stuff from Shinedown. They'll be in Kansas City this summer at the T-Mobile Center.
July 29th.
Thank you. I believe it's a Tuesday night, and tickets are on sale as of today. This is brand new Shinedown, just came out today. And it's great. It's called 365. A story here from the USA Today. Two California high school basketball players, their brothers, set records last night that you would usually see on a video game. Mesrobian High School senior guards Nick and Dylan Kachakian went off in a 119-25 win. That is almost uncool. Over Pasadena's Waverly High. Nick Kachakian, one of the brothers, scored 102 points.
Oh, wow.
His brother Dylan had a triple-double. Nick's 102 points came off of 48 of 60 shooting from the field in only 22 minutes. He scored 102 points in 22 minutes.
Was the other team on the court?
Yes, because they scored 25 points.
Wow. Okay. That's incredible.
He set a state record. Shocker. Wow.
That one's not going to be touched for a long time.
How about ever?
Decades.
So Nick gets 102 points, right, in 22 minutes of action. His brother Dylan had 35 assists, 15 rebounds, and 13 steals.
Oh, a triple-double not including points.
Points, correct.
Wow. What was the final score of the game, 175-3?
It was 119-25. So 17 points were scored by other members of the team. By the way, Nick, who had 102 points, scored all of his team's points in the first half. Mesrobian High School led 79-0 at half.
Oh, bless their hearts.
79-0 at half, which means he came back on for two more minutes. I think a high school game is 20-20.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken.
Well, four quarters at 10 minutes, I believe, but yeah.
Okay. That means if he came on for two more minutes, maybe they took him out a little bit in the first half, but let's say they didn't. That means he scored 23 points in 2 minutes.
He was hot. Give it to him at the three-point line. He's going to drain it.
Are they making a remake of When Harry Met Sally? The internet is a buzz.
I don't know that we need a remake of When Harry Met Sally. What are they, in their 80s now?
Let me rephrase. A sequel.
Okay.
From the New York Post, Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal have When Harry Met Sally fans saying, yes, yes, yes. I see what they did there. Mm-hmm. After teasing an upcoming reunion in a photo posted on the main grid of their Instagram accounts earlier this week, Meg Ryan, who is 63, Billy Crystal, who is 76. Smile as they sit on a set reminiscent of one that plays a major role in Where Harry Met Sally.
Right.
Read
the
that the diner.
The park. No, or the park bench.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Ryan is captioned in the post saying, "It's finally happening. We're reuniting for something iconic. Can't wait to show you all soon."
So they're teasing it. It could be When Harry Met Sally. They were also in the follow up, You've Got Mail. Mm-hmm. Less of a commercial success, but
still, that was Tom Hanks.
Still a decent movie. That was right after that. Was that not also Billy Crystal?
I know. I think that was Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. I think.
Is that one of the top 10 rom-coms of all time? And I'm not generally a huge fan of the rom-com. I don't seek it out. I don't, you know, but I can acknowledge that that particular movie changed.
Harry Met Sally or You've Got Mail?
When Harry Met Sally, and then also we're forgetting Sleepless in Seattle. That I was conflating the two. I think Sleepless in Seattle is one of the greatest.
That's also a Tom Hanks movie, isn't it?
Romance movies of all time.
See, I would put You've Got Mail, and I'm not a big rom-com guy, so
You've
don't ask
got
me.
Mail.
But I would put You've Got Mail up towards the top of that list, and it was Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
But it doesn't make any sense today because no one, You've Got Mail. That was back during dial-up.
True. True. And AOL, You've Got Mail. That was a terrible version of that.
They paid that guy like $7.
For the voice, mm-hmm. You've Got Mail?
Yeah, we had that story two months ago.
Yeah.
Was it a couple weeks ago?
Something like that.
Yeah, he sold the rights. He was the husband of a woman who worked at AOL.
And he just did it.
And he just did it at home.
Over the phone.
That's right.
I do believe.
Yeah. That's right.
Sounded better than the dial-up you got.
You've Got Mail.
Walmart might be known for its low prices, but that is translating into big paychecks for some of its employees. Yesterday, the biggest retail chain in the United States announced sweeping pay raises for those at the top, of course. Some top market managers overseeing roughly a dozen stores will make more than $600,000 a year. The entry rate for that position is also increased by about 25% to $160,000. We are in the wrong business. Walmart sales have been strong, despite other retailers reporting a slump. According to its most recent earnings report, Walmart's profit increased by 8%. Compared to a year ago.
You want to talk about high expectations, though, and a cutthroat industry?
Yep.
Your numbers aren't where they should be. They'll find somebody else to pay that ridiculous sum to try to get it right.
Sam, what did you say your word of the year was?
Positivity.
Yep. Mm. How's that going?
Not well.
Mine is going well.
It's an uphill battle for me.
Still is going well. Doing acupuncture. I'm being more thoughtful before firing off emails or saying something that maybe could be worded differently.
Smart. Very smart.
I'm not doing silly things like rushing into transactions like when they ask you,
Do you want to buy an e-bike?
Yes, Sam. I pause. I am more still. But I'm still dealing with some of the fallout from things that Dana did prior to her word of the year. Like when I got a new bank account and told the payroll system, they wanted to know how much of your check do you want to go to the new bank account.
Have you heard about this, Sam?
Oh, boy, no.
So she opens up a new account.
Yeah. Have I not told you this?
No.
Cancels her old account.
So now we're with UMB.
Yep.
And, of course.
Yep.
And she couldn't figure out, and I'll let you explain it, of course, but she couldn't figure out why.
We didn't get paid last week.
When we got paid last week, she got paid $100.
I got paid last week.
I didn't even think I got paid at all. And then I went back and looked, and it was $100. So over the weekend, I was talking to MP, and I said, I don't think I got paid. So I texted Scott, and I go, did we get paid on Friday? And he's like, yeah. Have I been fired? He's like, I don't know.
So I didn't say that.
I go on.
I said no.
Our company website, and I go into my, like, direct deposit details.
Yeah, the portal.
I tried to put in, I want 100% of my check to go to the UMB account. Instead, I put it on the line where it says how many
dollars
you want going into your account. So, Sam, I literally told a computer program, give me $100 on Friday, and it did.
A great way to save money.
The rest of the check is just floating somewhere in cyberspace.
Oh, did you close the other account?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so now they have to cut me.
Did you get paid yet?
Speaking of dial-up, no, I have not. Now they have to cut me a snail mail check, which I think will probably arrive sometime, I don't know, after I'm completely in the red.
Did you give them the new address?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Triple check.
Are you sure?
Thank you. I triple checked everything because I'm like, okay, like I can go without a check for a while, but I mean, we're getting into day 7 here.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall when you walk up to the old house. Hey, so.
Excuse me.
Now, did you get any mail for me?
Remember, because it's probably been a while, you have to sign the back of that check.
Yes. Yes.
Or they will not cash it.
Sign it, put for mobile deposit only on there, hope that I can mobile deposit it.
If I were you, I would take that to a bank.
Yeah, don't mobile deposit because it's 1 to 3 days to clear.
My new word is still.
Still dealing with it.
My new word for you would be walk in.
Very funny, Sam. Very funny. All right, phones are ringing. Well, I'm so excited.
Very quickly.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited.
And Sam, we'll do this after 3:30. Your new word, positivity, could actually be bad for his health.
Oh, we will be bringing that back.
We will do that at 3:30 this afternoon. In a moment, we'll visit with the oldest son of Richard and Mary Anderson, a local couple celebrating 81 years of marriage this week. Ugh. 81 years.
It's a story that dates back to 1942 in Kansas City, Kansas.
We'll visit with her oldest son in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. They've been married longer than most people live. Celebrating an 81st anniversary this week, Richard and Mary Anderson, 81 years together. Well, 81 years married. They've been together for 83. And joining us on the KMZ hotline is their oldest son, Dick Anderson from Lenexa. Dick, hello, welcome.
Good. How are you doing?
So good. It's so good to finally talk to you. And you have spread you've spread so much joy with this story, Dick, both on our program and online. And we thank your family for sharing just a little bit about your mom and dad's sweet story. They were 12 and 14. Tell everyone the story how they met in 1942 in KCK.
Well, they told me that they were on a lake in Wilburn Lake in Wyandotte County. And mother was ice skating. That's where she lived, in that neighborhood. And then three boys walked on the lake, one of which was my dad. And one of the boys went over and somehow knocked my mother down. My dad rushed over, I guess, to pick her up, help her out. And it all started there, 81 years from that point. They never left their side of each other. And you know that they got married 18 months later, I guess, something like that.
They were both very young.
Yeah, they were actually 14 and 16 when they married. They waited for my mother to graduate from eighth grade before they got married. And, you know, at that time they were visiting each other's home, but they didn't ever tell their parents until about 3 to 4 months after they got married. They took a train to Topeka and trained back and that night, and then they each went to their respective parents' homes. And then they confessed up about, they told me about 3 or 4 months later, they can't remember. And from that point on, their life began. It was a pretty cool story.
You guys have five generations living. Five generations. It is. So it's three children. Yeah. They have eight grandchildren, 18 great-grandchildren, and 19, I think, was either just born or is on the way, and four great-great-grandchildren, a total of 30. Have you guys, I mean, do you understand how you're
lucky?
So close to the story? But yeah, really how unique and beautiful this story is.
It is. It is. And you know, they accomplished so much with such little education. I mean, my mother, for instance, also went to Southwestern Bell at one point and worked there 25 years before she retired. And she was an executive secretary and ended up being a supervisor. In fact, when she tried to retire, they convinced her to stay because she was so needed in the role that she was in.
Dick, we
and
were
my
not.
My dad did the same thing.
Yeah, he was Southwestern about 40 years, right? We were not able to get Richard.
Was 40 years.
Yeah, we were not able to get Richard and Mary into the studio, but I know that they are going to hear this. And so we want to give you the floor to say anything you would like to them because they're going to hear this later.
Well, I think it's amazing that my dad, at age 19, built his first house with all the skills, with no help or little help from electrical, carpentry, plumbing, all of it. He built that house and we moved into it. And that became our lifestyle. He would build a house we'd move into the house that he first built. He was 19. I think it'd be 22 when we moved in. And then he would start building another one. And then 3 years or 5 years later, we'd move into it. And that's the way he supported, in addition to Southwest and Bell, our family. And the fact that he had those kinds of skills at that age, I can't imagine it, because I didn't inherit any of those skills.
Where did he learn how to do that? Where did he learn how to do that?
You know, I'm going to ask him, Scott. I don't think he learned. I just think it was inherent. I do. He has all those skills, the things he can do and has continued to do, not now, but, you know, for years. And he helped the family with all kinds of things. Every time we moved, Gloria and I, he'd be over there fixing things, getting it ready. He just enjoyed it. Well, and he was so talented. And, you know, when they moved to another story you might be interested in, when they moved to Florida after they retired, and they retired in 85, so they way outlived the Social Security system, for sure. But my mother became a very accomplished tennis player, and she had never played, and she won many tournaments. She was ranked, and she stopped playing at 88.
Wow.
I'll be darned.
And then my dad became a very accomplished and award-winning wood carver. So, I mean, they've always had so many talents. And, you know, you have to realize that the odds were kind of against them because of their age. The fact that they got married so early. I was born when they were 15 and 17, so that's pretty early to have a child. And then my brothers, same thing. They were born relatively early in 50 and 51. And then one of the stories I like to tell is that when I went to K-State to college and joined a fraternity, my parents came up. And my pop and mom probably doesn't want to hear this, but they all thought she was pretty hot. You know, she was only 33 years old. So, I mean, it's amazing that what they've been through, and it's been great stories for us and the family. And now the grandchildren all enjoy it. And I don't know, ask me some questions, too. I think it's been great.
We have a question on the text line. Were your grandparents upset with them that they got married so young and didn't tell anyone?
I don't know the answer to that. They have lost a lot of their, like when I first started talking to this at Dana's request, they didn't want to come on. I said, well, let's just talk about it a little bit. And they said, hey, that was 81 years ago. So I had to kind of keep pumping them, you know, and I didn't ask them that question.
Well, Dick, we've got other family members that want to just come on and say hi, and we want to give them the opportunity to do that, because your mom and dad are going to hear this later. And just on behalf of all of us with Dana and Parks and the entire KMBZ family, a really heartfelt happy anniversary to the couple. It's a beautiful, beautiful story.
And I want to thank you, Dana, for getting this put together and putting it on the radio. They just heard the first recording that you sent to Mark, my son, today, actually, and I wasn't with them to be able to hear it with them, but I will this afternoon, and then I'll let them hear this one as well.
Well, Dick, give them the best for us, and happy anniversary to them.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. All right, buddy. Be well. Let's go to Steve Anderson. Steve, where do you fall in this chain?
I'm the second son, the favorite son.
Of course.
But Dick did an excellent job there. I do have a little bit of an answer to that question of how her parents felt. They were very poor. My mother grew up with no running water. The toilet was outside. So from her father's perspective, it was like one less mouth to feed. And so I think he was okay with it. I don't recall how my father's parents responded, but I think it was similar for them. They were very, very poor. So give them their best, and they went out. I mean, who would have thought at 14 and 16 that marriage would survive? I mean, God had to be looking down and shaking his head. And yet, as it not only survived, it's flourished with actually, I think there's one more. We figured out one more great-grandchild. We forgot to leave off the great-great-grandchild. We left off the list. But that it has grown, and we're all so close. I mean, that tells you something about their character that we still keep in touch with them. The family gets together whenever we can. We're kind of spread out across the country, a number of different places. But it tells you something about them and the life that they've led.
Right on. Steve, thank you, man. We're going to visit with Ash and Ava after a really quick break, okay?
All right.
All right, great talking to you. Happy anniversary to your parents. Ash and Ava, both great-granddaughters, will be joining us in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. We are celebrating for just a little bit longer the 81st wedding anniversary of a local couple, 81 years together. And Richard and Mary Anderson. I did the math on Mr. Dick Anderson, their son, their oldest son. He's 80 years old.
Yeah. We were talking about this during the break. You know, they've been married so long that even their great-grandchildren or great-great-grandchildren are adults.
So let's bring in great-granddaughter Ash. Ash, we're trying to do math in here, and that's dangerous for the two of us. You're their great-granddaughter. Can we ask, and I know it's not appropriate, but how old are you?
I'm 36.
36 years old.
And they're going to hear this, Ash, so anything you want to say directly to them, just go for it. We just love everything about this story and your willingness to share.
Yeah, we were excited to hear it on the radio, and I think if we said anything to them, it would just be that my four girls make up the fifth generation of our family, and that has just been so special. We had five generations when I was born 36 years ago and made a really cool photo of, you know, my grandpa's mom or my... I'm not sure how it works, but we used to have five generations back when I was born, and then we remade the photo with the current five generations when my first daughter was born, and it is just a really special thing.
Well, your grandma's mom is Mary.
Yes, I'm sorry. So I think it was, I'm not sure who it was. I think it was her mom, Mary's mom, maybe? No, you're going to have to ask Dick or Gloria.
Well, there's so many of you. I understand why you're confused.
I was going to say it is confusing, Ash, because so few of us have had the opportunity to have five generations here in town. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yes.
I imagine they're still very much in love. They would have to be.
Can I ask you something, Ash? In the photo, they both look so happy. They both look so spry, but he looks a little ornery. Is he ornery?
He can be. He's a little spunky when he wants to be, for sure.
Right on.
It's phenomenal.
So they have five great-great-grandchildren. Is that correct? And four of them are yours?
I don't know if they have five great-great. I don't know about that.
Oh, no. It says here. No, I beg your pardon, Ash, because... Dick Anderson wrote this script, or not script, but rundown that we have in front of us. There are four great-great-grandchildren.
Yes. I think that my four girls make up the fifth generation
right
now.
Okay, got it.
Well, Ash, thank you for sharing. This has just been great fun for all of us, and I think everybody needs some good news right now, and it's a good reminder that love is out there, and it's just been a real sweet experience hearing you guys talk about this.
Thank you. Would it be okay if their fifth generation said they love them?
You stick them on the phone right now. We cannot wait.
Who is it?
It's Sophie and Autumn, Isabel and Joe are all on the car with me right now.
Good.
Anybody will talk, but do you want to say love you to Gigi and Grandpa?
Love you, Gigi and Grandpa.
That was Autumn.
That's going to make me cry. Thank you so much.
Ash,
truly.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. And the last word goes to another great-granddaughter, Ava Anderson. Hello, Ava.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well. How old are you?
I am 19. So I think I'm the fourth great-grandchild, I think. If my math is correct, I'm like the fourth blood great-grandchild.
Wow. And what do you think of their story? And I want to remind everybody, it was not that unusual for very young marriages during the war. My late grandma and grandpa would have been one of them because he went off to war.
Wow. I think it's honestly so amazing. And I feel like with today's like generational love, like I think people need to start looking to that. You can be married for 81 years and I've always seen them together and they just seem so infatuated with each other. And I think it's just an amazing way that we can all look at how you can be in love at such an old age, but also you can be so in love at such a young age. But they've truly just been in my life ever since I was little, like so involved with my life and all of their grandkids' life. And it's just so cool.
Well, respond to this if you would, Ava. Somebody writes in that they had gone to a restaurant this week apparently for lunch for their anniversary. And I'm reading from the text, we bought their meal for them. They were so sweet and still to this day, so very much in love.
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much just sums up their entire relationship. You know, when we would go see them at the nursing home that they're currently at, I mean, they're always just so together. And my grandma just recently had to be in the hospital because she fell. But the only thing he wanted was to just be around her. And I think that's still such a hard thing for either of them to get the concept of, is that, you know, during those situations, they can't be around each other as much as they want to be. And, you know, one of the nurses, I remember my Daba, Gloria, who we call her Daba, telling us is that the only thing that would make him feel better is to just be around her, you know, when she was in the hospital. But I just think their relationship is so cool and it's such a good thing to see and still be around. And, you know, I miss him every day when I'm at school, but it's always just so good to hear about this stuff. And I think it's so great that you guys were able to put this together for him.
Well, we're happy to do it. And, you know, Dana said to me during the commercial break, you know, people are just starving for good news. And what better good news story than this one?
Right. It's so amazing. I mean, thank you guys so much. And sure. I know they're so happy about it. And I was so sad last year that I missed their 80th anniversary party. I was out of town, but this is just such a good way to commemorate their 81 years.
Well, Ava, here's to many more.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So thanks to Dick, Steve, Ash, and Ava, as we celebrate the 81st wedding anniversary of Richard and Mary Anderson, 81 years together.
What a story.
He is 97. She is 95.
What a story.
All right, Sam, back to the story about your word of the year.
Well, we can't beat that, so we really want to go back to flatulence and positivity.
Is it longevity?
I'm not going to talk about flatulence. Your word of the year is positivity.
It is. Mm-hmm. I have been trying my darndest to be aggressively positive.
So this story from New Scientist, we know that a positive attitude can be good for us and that the right mindset can have a real impact on our health and our happiness.
Huh.
But it turns out that we can have too much of a good thing. What some psychologists studying self-affirmations found was an example of toxic positivity. The idea that a forced, optimistic interpretation of our experiences alongside the suppression of our negative emotions can actually do real mental health damage.
Oh, don't worry. I still identify all the negatives.
He still identifies as negative.
The term toxic positivity has become something of a buzzword in both academia and pop culture. Yet despite this, messaging that happiness is a choice and positivity is a mindset abounds.
I'm doing my best.
I do believe positivity is a choice. And if all you do before you immediately go to a negative thought is pause or be still, as I'm trying to do,
or accept
just for a second and change your frame of mind to something more positive, I do think there are actual health benefits to getting in the habit of doing those things, Scott. And I don't mean when awful things happen or you're having a sad day. I mean, if someone, God forbid, lost their job today, yeah, we're not talking about, oh, I'm going to be positive, but I do think you can find positive things.
You're allowed to feel your feelings.
In life's happenings, but even just with everyday little things. And I've seen Sam do this where he'll stop instead of automatically going negative. You stop and think like, okay, is there another way I could phrase this? And you're also doing a service to those people around you, Sam. Because we all know somebody that like is the, and I'm not saying this is you, but
I'm a negative Nancy. You can call me that.
Negative person. And it can be draining for loved ones and friends around that personality type.
I have a natural, my brain is naturally wired to poke holes in every single story in front of me.
The yabuts. You have the yabuts.
News stories, situations that happened to me in my life. And I have tried to take my word of the year and use that as an opportunity to, as Dana was pointing out, identify the fact that, first of all, that is just what my brain does, and trying to overcome that before I respond.
Story here from the New York Post. Would a plant by any other name stink so bad? An extremely rare corpse flower dramatically bloomed at the Brooklyn Botanical Garden on Friday for the first time in Big Apple history, unleashing a putrid aroma of rotten flesh through the institution.
Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. Not to be negative here, but it's so rare, this flower, that we hear about it about every 3 months in our stack. It can't be that rare. The corpse flower, we are always talking about the corpse flower.
One bloomed in Australia.
Okay.
I think earlier this week.
Yeah, aren't there two corpse flowers?
Yeah, two that I'm aware of. They only bloom once every decade.
Okay. So the flower itself is not necessarily that rare, but the blooming of it that then unleashes the scent.
I think both are true.
Is rare. Okay.
Both are true.
That it is a rare flower. And its blooming is extremely rare, once every 10 years.
Its rarity classification is not extinct. That's how many there are. The only thing they could list was not extinct.
Okay, but from an evolutionary standpoint, if it worked for flowers to do this thing to keep predators away, why wouldn't every flower then smell like the worst thing you've ever smelled?
Because some flowers rely on pollination.
And they want the bees. Mm-hmm. And with the stench, you don't get the bees. Got it.
The striking and stinky plant. It's a beautiful plant. Have you ever seen one?
Yeah, they're huge.
They're huge and they're beautiful, which workers in Brooklyn have dubbed Smelliot. Burst open around 11:30 today before an excited crowd of gawkers, many of whom immediately plugged their nose.
By the way, they have no idea how many corpse flowers still exist. They just know that it's fewer than 1,000.
I would go do it just to smell it, to be able to talk about it. I really
stinky
would.
Stinky gym socks.
Because you've seen, or worse, Sam. I mean, it's called the corpse flower. There is a very unique, sticky, sweet, putrid smell that, bleh.
Okay, it says here, Smelliot started emitting a dull, foul stench before it opened. Hard-to-miss harbinger of what was to come. Quoting here from one of the folks in the Brooklyn Botanical Garden, it is stinkiest right when it opens, which is to attract its pollinators like flies and beetles that eat dead animals.
Gross!
That is why it smells like rotten flesh.
But isn't it funny that one flower went, you all do what you want to do with the bees. We're going the other way.
We're going with poop-eating flies.
Yep. That's what I'm going to do.
The Brooklyn Botanical Garden has already seen an uptick in foot traffic through the gardens over the past week, with every visitor stopping through the aquatic house to catch a glimpse
quickly
of the super rare flower.
Ugh.
We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today, Q39KC.com. NFL news that does not involve the Chiefs, but one of their biggest rivals, Pete Carroll, according to the USA Today, is headed from the classroom back to an NFL sideline and into the record books. The Las Vegas Raiders are hiring the former Seattle Seahawks coach to fill the vacancy for their top job, according to a report on ESPN. The move will make Carroll, who turned 74 in September, the oldest coach in modern NFL history.
Now, Carroll's got a resume that's 15 pages long. I understand that portion of it, but this is not a good look for every single offensive coordinator who wanted to be a head coach in the league. None of you were good enough to pass up the 74-year-old guy.
Prior to today, Kansas City Chiefs coach Andy Reid, at 66, was the league's oldest active coach. Carroll has 8 years on him. And he did interview for the Chicago Bears job on January 9th, he also spoke with the Dallas Cowboys about their opening, but he's headed to Vegas. Okay. All right. You know I love astronomy. Astronomers have detected fast repeating radio bursts from a distant dead galaxy that should not contain the energy needed to produce these types of signals, according to new research.
I knew this story would be in our stack when I saw it, and I didn't even have to check the stack to know it. You are fascinated by this stuff.
I love it. I think astronomy is, if I was not on the radio, I would either be the drummer for Robert Cray or an astronomer.
Okay. Or a detective or
both,
a lawyer.
Both
or...
highly unlikely, but I digress.
That's why I'm on the radio.
Yep.
The source of the fast radio burst, FRBs, sudden flashes of radio waves that last just milliseconds.
We got ourselves a FRB.
You know what?
The Super Bowl at NASA. We got ourselves a FRB.
Tom, what was that? Bill, it's a FRB. We got one. Very funny. Very funny, Dana. You know what this sounds like? The movie Contact.
Yeah, it always does.
With what's her face?
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster. Thank you. Because that's when they got the signal that it was coming in FRBs.
Of course, yeah, FRB.
And that's where signals. They got the that's where they got the diagram to build
the FRB.
No, the FRB's what gave them the diagram to build that big.
Right, that's why he's not an astronomer. He's not even FRB adjacent.
Wow. Researchers expect FRBs to originate inside of a galaxy, and because these FRBs are so energetic, within a region of a galaxy in which new stars are actively forming. But this galaxy
the FRBs are turnt?
Is thought to be dead.
They are indeed.
These FRBs are named FRB 2024029A.
You know no one at NASA has a sense of humor whatsoever, or they would be turnt FRBs. Oh, we got an excited one.
If they heard us reading the story, they would be like, see, you're
nothing,
mocking.
Nothing funny about this.
You're mocking this. This is a major discovery.
Actually, the FRB 2027.
FRBs are very rare.
B. You guys sound too excited Q. right now.
FRBs are like the smelliot in New York. They're very rare. Treat them as such.
Nothing but monotone speaking.
According to one of the researchers, there is no other galaxy there. This particular FRB is really an outlier.
There you go.
And it challenges our theories about what is producing FRBs.
Much better. When we get back, my other favorite word of the day is grappler, as in the Grappler 6000. It has been deployed in these Kansas City regions.
Lucky
successfully.
Us.
Successfully. Pew, pew. We will tell you what ne'er-do-well was caught up in the Grappler 6000 straight ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.